Chapter 31. Letter from South America. It was some weeks later. Frankie had just received a letter from one of the less well-known South American countries. Having read it, she passed it to Bobby. Dear Frankie, I congratulate you. You and your young naval friend have destroyed the plans of a lifetime. Would you like to know all about it? My lady friend has told the police almost all my secrets, so telling you won't do me any harm now. Besides, I am starting life again. Roger Bassington French is now dead. I've always been a bad boy. My father covered up for me, but he sent me to Canada, where I met Moira and her gang. She was a successful criminal by the time she was 15. We decided to become a couple, but we needed money, lots of it. And I wanted Meroway Court. To begin with, Moira married Nicholson, who was coming over to live in England, because the police were beginning to suspect her. She was working with her gang in the drug business. Without knowing it, Nicholson was very useful to her. Moira made several trips back to Canada, saying she was going to see her family. She travelled under various names. She was Mrs. Templeton when she met Savage. He was attracted by her, but not enough to leave her most of his money, or even give her very much. However, we made a plan. The man you know as Cayman pretended to be Moira's husband, and Savage was persuaded to come down and stay at Tudor Cottage. Then, after a time, Moira, well, you know what she did. She got the money Savage had left her and said she was going off to live abroad. In reality, she went back to Staveley and the Grange. In the meantime, I was trying to carry out my own plans. My brother Henry and young Tommy had to die so that I could inherit Meroway. I had bad luck over Tommy. A couple of accidents went wrong and he survived. In Henry's case, he had a lot of pain after he'd had an accident hunting. I got him some morphia. He took it and soon became an addict. The plan Moira and I made was that he would go to the Grange for treatment, and there he would take an overdose of morphia. Moira, of course, would be the one who would give him the drug. And then that fool, Carstairs, started his investigations. Savage had written to him, mentioning Mrs. Templeton, and had even enclosed a photograph of her. When Carstairs came to England and heard the news of Savage's suicide and will, the story didn't seem right to him. Savage was a hard-headed businessman, and while he might have an affair with a pretty woman, Carstairs didn't believe he would leave a huge amount of money to her and the rest to charity. The charity touch was my idea. It sounded so respectable. He decided to investigate. By chance, some friends brought him down to lunch, and he saw a picture of Moira on the piano. He recognized her as the woman in the photograph Savage had sent him, and a few days later, he went to Chipping Somerton and started to ask questions. He didn't find Rose Chudley, but he found out Evans's married name and went to Marchbolt. I followed him. A push in the mist sent him over the cliff. When I was waiting for the police to arrive, I removed anything that could identify him, then put the photograph of Mrs. Cayman in his pocket. All was going well, and then your friend Bobby upset things. Carstairs had mentioned Evans to him, and Evans was actually in service at the vicarage. We were frightened we were going to be caught. Moira followed Bobby and put some morphia into his beer when he was asleep, but the young devil survived. You can imagine the shock that Moira got when she was coming out to meet me secretly one evening and came face to face with Bobby. She was so scared she nearly fainted. Then she realized that it wasn't her he suspected, and she went along with what he was saying and made some more stories up. But the truth was that you and Bobby were a great danger to us. Henry didn't commit suicide, of course. I killed him. When I was talking to you in the garden, I realized that you were too near the truth and that Henry had to die at once. I went straight in to deal with him. The plane that came over gave me the cover I needed. I shot him. The noise of the plane hid the sound. Then I wrote his suicide letter, wiped my fingerprints from the gun, and put the key of the study in Henry's pocket. I went out, locking the door from the outside with the dining room key, which fits both locks. Oh, and I'd placed a firework in the fireplace, which I timed to go off 4 minutes later. Everything went beautifully. You and I were in the garden together and heard the shot. A perfect suicide. And poor old Nicholson, who'd come back for a walking stick or something, was the perfect suspect. Moira went off to the cottage. We believed that Nicholson's explanation of his wife's absence would be sure to make you suspicious. And where Moira really showed her quick thinking was at the cottage. She realized from the noises from the attic that you'd got me. She quickly injected morphia into herself and lay down on the bed where you found her. After you all went down to telephone the police, she came up and cut me free. Then she went back to bed and the morphia took effect. By the time the doctor arrived, she was genuinely asleep. She was afraid you'd find Evans, and so she hurried down to Marchbolt to get rid of her, and met you just as she was about to go into the vicarage. Then her one idea was to get you both out of the way, and made the greatest mistake of her life by trying to poison you. And then at the trial, she told them all about my part in the whole thing. So, here I am starting life again, and all because of you and Bobby Jones. But I've no doubt I will be successful. Goodbye, my dear. Your affectionate enemy, Roger Bassington French.